Welcome back to the show, my loves. On today's episode of the podcast, I talk about seasons and how, just like in nature, we also experience differing cycles and seasons inside of ourselves. We are going to have time periods in our lives where we feel very hardworking and creative and extroverted. And we're going to have seasons in our lives when we feel more introverted and when we need more rest and replenishment. I talk about the season I have found myself in right now and how, of course, sometimes it can be challenging to align our day-to-day lives with the season we are currently in on the inside. So I talk a lot about aligning with nature today, how we can allow ourselves to rest and arrive at a place that actually feels good enough inside. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. Welcome back, my darlings. We are here. It's Friday and it's time for a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I'm feeling so content right now. I'm feeling so content. Content is a perfect word for this feeling in my body, in my being right at this moment. So I'm very comfortable, curled up in my little podcast chair. It has been the hottest week that I have experienced in Sweden I can't remember experiencing, honestly, truly, a week this hot as the past week. It's been up to 32 degrees for a week straight. That's almost 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So Aruba weather, even... somehow it felt hotter than Aruba weather. I don't know, because it just came like a real heat wave out of nowhere. And Dennis said something really funny. In Sweden, we have a saying called, there is no such thing as bad weather. There is only bad clothing, except in Swedish, it rhymes. Det finns inget dåligt väder, bara dåliga kläder. And I've been telling him, repeating the saying a lot over the winter months and when things were really cold and the winter was lasting a long time, and to get him to go outside even when it was raining and gray, you know. There's no such thing as bad weather. There's only bad clothing. We bundle up, you dress for the weather, and we can still spend all day outside. And yesterday, in the peak of this heat wave, I don't know what happened to him. He just... like, we were in the garden working, we were filling the last bed. I keep adding gardening beds to my garden and I needed his help. And he was kind of reluctantly like filling a bed. He didn't really want to, but he promised he would help. And then halfway, he just lays the shovel down and he looks at me and he says, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I can't stand up. I have to go lie down. And he just left and went into this shaded area of our deck and laid there for I don't know how long. He just completely overheated. He just collapsed. And this is an Aruban man who has spent his entire life living in the Caribbean in the hottest weather, you know, no seasons, no winter time. Like, it's just hot all year round. He just couldn't deal. And then later, I don't know, maybe he was a little bit dehydrated from not drinking enough the day before. And he took a long bike ride in the sun. I mean, you know, Dennis by now, he's not the best at drinking and staying hydrated. And then when he felt a little bit better, and I was kind of joking, I'm like, hey, Caribbean man, you okay over there? You know, you're dealing with the Swedish weather, okay? So he looks at me from over the other end of the couch and he says, well, you know, in Aruba, we have this saying. I'm like, what do you mean? What saying? It's like about the weather. We have this saying. Maybe you've heard it. And I said, no. So there's no such thing as too hot weather. There's only such a thing as too little AC. He was so content, like happy with himself. There's no such thing as a day that's too hot. There's only not enough air conditioning. Like, that was his whole thing. Because in Aruba, everything is air conditioned. And we really lived that air conditioned life when we were living there. Every room of the house, we had an air conditioning unit. You know, every house on the whole island has that in every room. And, you know, wherever you go to the grocery store, you go to the cinema, you go to a restaurant, like it's going to be very cool, almost sometimes too cold. Like, going to the cinema in Aruba, we would put on woolly socks and jeans and bring sweaters because it was always freezing cold in the cinema, which is just crazy, right? But so he was kind of giving me a little poke that we don't have AC here. I mean, Sweden, it's very rare. Obviously, it's Sweden, you know, to find a house that's air conditioned. You just don't find it. But I think last summer also was just, you know, there was this wave of just unbelievable heat. And what happens in Sweden is when it gets really, really hot, that's also when the mosquitoes come. And we've had the whole summer season so far, we haven't had a single mosquito. We were under this impression like, oh, we just live in this magical place. Maybe we're on a little hill and it's a little bit windy here. Maybe we don't get mosquitoes, because at my brother's house, he lives more on a farm. It's really bad there. So he has screens, of course, on all of his windows and doors. We don't have any screens here because we haven't had any mosquito issues. And then the week it got crazy hot was the week the mosquitoes totally arrived. But then we were air conditioning less and screenless, so no ability to sleep with the doors and the windows open, because then we just get completely eaten by the mosquitoes. But it was literally, you know, it's 90 degrees. It's so, so, so hot. So Dennis was saying, we need to get a unit. And I caved. I think we were gonna borrow one from my brother. Had like a unit that he, like one of those portable ones that you can roll into a room. And it comes with a hose that you stick out of the window for the hot air, something like that. I don't know how these things work. And then he said he would give it to us. And then it got even hotter and he changed his mind. So we now have this, since the past 2 days, we have this, it's this ancient looking, I don't even know what it is. It's some kind of cooling system, but it sounds like a jet engine. So it's just, it's really, I don't know. I was just laughing at us just yesterday. I can't believe, like, we're in Sweden and it's too hot for Dennis. And he has made us get this weird ass air conditioning unit. Oh, this poor Caribbean man. Like, he doesn't know. Every season just brings a new surprise to him. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with our signature Undaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. But so anyway, I am sitting here totally content because while it's been a really beautiful week, some of our best, closest, favorite friends, family, humans came to visit us from LA. We haven't seen them since before the pandemic. It's been a long time. They are the people that we always stay with every time we go to Los Angeles. And now we haven't been. I saw them when I was there for that short trip a couple months ago. But Dennis hasn't seen them, I think, since 2019. And Leia also. She was only two. So they were here for a week. And we had just a really beautiful summer, Swedish summer week. You know, spent at the lake and drinking lots of wine and cooking together and spending all day just swimming and playing. And it's been just such a lovely vacation week. And then they just left. And today I woke up in the morning and it's the first day. It's not a million degrees in the past, I don't know, 10 days or something like that. It's just a little overcast. It rained a little bit last night. Thank goodness. My garden really needed it. And I spent all day in the garden, which I do most days, but something about today, just walking barefoot in the garden without anything really to do. Any gardeners out there or people who are growing stuff, which I feel is a lot of you listening. I know you're growing something or growing a lot, or you have a dream of growing something. And oftentimes I find myself when I'm in the garden, I have a purpose, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that and I'm working on something and I'm creating or building or figuring things out or, and it's so lovely when you have those days when just everything seems like it's totally in balance, you know? I don't know. I've been having those days where it's just, I just want to walk around kind of talking to my plants and, you know, just being in the garden more than doing things in the garden. And I walked over to our strawberry patch and harvested a whole basket of strawberries. Some of them even, I haven't checked on the strawberry patch in 2 or 3 days. And in the sun and in this heat, they've just ripened so quickly. So some of them were even overripe. I put the overripe ones in the dehydrator I'm planning to make. I've never done that ever. I mean, I've never found myself in a place ever in this world where I have too many strawberries. I mean, Who has that problem? No one. It's never happened in my life that I have too many strawberries or strawberries that are overripe, you know. So I put them in the dehydrator. And I don't know if you've ever had, and I'm not talking a freeze-dried strawberries. I feel like those are pretty common. You know, the ones that are really crispy, they're also good. But a dried strawberry when they're really gooey and sticky and at least the ones I've had in the past have been like little gems of strawberry summer flavored candies almost. So I put 2 trays in the dehydrator. I think it's going to take a long time to dehydrate strawberries, maybe 24 hours or something like that. But I put a bunch of them in there. And as I did, I realized I had all of these dandelion roots that I'd put in the dehydrator. I harvested. Can you even say that you're harvesting dandelion when dandelion literally is everywhere? I don't know, but on this property here, we have so many of them. And I had a day like a week ago when I was pulling one after the other, these huge ones, and cleaned them off and filled the whole entire dehydrator just with dandelion root. And then I forgot about them. So now that I went in with my strawberries, I was like, oh yeah, I have all this dandelion root. So I don't know, that feeling of for me at least, gathering things from nature, the combination of growing my own foods and tending to my garden, with taking care of the land, with foraging, like the combination of that, it's just such beautiful layers of being held, feeling so held by nature and holding nature at the same time. There's something to me that's just so absolutely peaceful about that. And I just, you know, I have so much dirt under my fingernails and in my, between my toes and in my feet. I need a good bath to scrub myself, which I haven't done. I've only taken like lake baths. But anyway, I took a cold shower and then I came in here and I just took a breath and I just realized I am so content. And I feel it in my whole body right now, this feeling of just contentment. I don't have this big, huge, mega reason, you know, to feel really content. And I think that's what true contentment actually is. That's the difference between contentment and happiness or excitement or something like that. I feel like oftentimes I'll be really happy when something good is happening, you know, and something, I get good news or something works out, or I'm with a really happy person, you know, happiness is so infectious like that. But contentment to me really is more about just that feeling of groundedness in my body, that I have no fire to put out. There's no major problem I have to solve. No panic, no sense of unsafety anywhere in my body. And it doesn't mean that everything is perfect in every way, right? It's just this feeling of belonging, I guess, to me brings a sense of contentment. And I feel that the easiest, truly, when I grab one of my little harvesting baskets and I go outside and I water my garden and I walk around the land and I tend to things that need tending to and harvest things when I find them and forage for things when they come up. And the more I get to lean into this kind of life, which just, I don't know how to explain it really. I have never felt more abundant in my entire life. And I have probably never worked less at money-making endeavors, if that makes sense. I've never, I used to really spend all day working at my job, right? And now I really feel like I'm in this lull. I'm in this quiet space where I am not focused on anything resembling a career or teaching or touring or even creating something. You know, I'm not doing anything like that. And I have never felt more abundant in my life. There's a different feeling to that kind of abundance. You know, I know the kind of abundance of getting a book deal, for instance, the feeling of getting a book deal and having something really great come my way, or a big paycheck for some reason, or finishing a tour, or having completed a big retreat. Like, there's abundance in that and the work that I've been doing for the past so many years. But that kind of abundance, which of course is very fulfilling and a huge privilege and a blessing, and is what sustained my family for the past decade, that kind of abundance feels so different from the kind of abundance I'm feeling or experiencing now. This level of abundance of knowing that no matter what happens, that even if I don't make another dollar for the rest of the month, I don't head down any new path of work. I'm just, you know, if I would remain the way I am, I have a feeling in my bones that I can take care of myself. And I've never had that feeling. I really have this sense of safety right now, that even if the world would go completely upside down and I would be completely out of a job and we would have no income whatsoever, I feel like I could take care of myself by taking care of this land. Now, probably, you know, there would be a gazillion, obviously, you know, hardships and troubles along the way, but I'm a step closer to being self-sustaining, knowing that I actually know how to grow my own foods. I actually really do know how to grow my own foods. Now I'm a beginner and I have so much to learn and there are a million things I want to grow into and figure out, and I'm doing it small scale, but I feel so abundant picking this basket of strawberries. I don't know if you remember, but last week? I shared this really intense dream that I had. Basically, I was like a midwife helping my garden bed give birth to potatoes. I was checking the potatoes to see if they were ready. And today the potatoes were ready. I could have waited another week, or I could have, you know, harvested them last week, but just today was the day I felt excited. And all the flowers. I've never grown potatoes, so honestly, I don't know yet. I don't have that feeling yet that you get after having grown the same kind of vegetable or plant again and again. You know, if you do it again and again, after a while, you just know when things are at their peak, at their most ripe, at their most ready. And these are summer potatoes, so you're not actually supposed to store them in the ground for too long. You know, they don't really have a skin even. They're meant to just be picked and boiled and eaten right away, just with nothing, just with like butter and some flaky salt, like some sea salt. I just got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps thinking of a freshly harvested summer potato with butter and sea salt. Is there something better than that? So anyway, I actually got to straddle one of my potato beds this morning with both hands, you know, elbow deep in the soil, helping the garden give birth to all of these potatoes. And there were so many of them. I don't know what's normal. I mean, maybe I have a poor harvest. Honestly, I wouldn't know. Maybe I have a totally average harvest for this size garden bed. Maybe it's a very abundant harvest. I have no clue. But I have kilos and kilos of potatoes. It's the feeling that comes with that. There's a richness of growing your own foods and knowing that, you know, I started sprouting these potatoes back in, I don't even know, February, maybe March. It's been months, and really tending to them and taking care of them, and then having a whole garden bed worth of potatoes in paper bags in my fridge. There is a feeling to that that I cannot compare with anything else. That feeling is, to me right now, it beats a book deal. And maybe that sounds totally insane, but I want more of this level of abundance, that feeling of picking chamomile flowers that I grew from seed. And I know it's kind of silly, I guess, because I can go to the store and I can go to my health food store and I can buy 2 pounds of chamomile flowers dried. You know, I can go to any grocery store and find bags of chamomile tea, you know, or boxes of chamomile tea. It's a very readily, you know, it's easy to find. It's not that expensive. But the feeling of harvesting my own chamomile flowers that I grew and then putting them in my own tea bag, that is a different cup of tea. That is a different experience altogether. It feels different. It tastes different. It smells different. The whole experience of drinking that cup is wildly different than the one I just grabbed that I got at the store, you know. And I'm kind of playing around a little bit with this balance, because what we're doing now, or what I'm doing now, I have to say we, because Dennis is such a huge part of this. And it's funny because I'm kind of leading the way. I'm the one who's really truly wanting to make this my whole entire life, and for him it's more like this is a hobby kind of thing. You know, he enjoys working in the garden, and sometimes I feel like I have to really ask for his help because sometimes he doesn't feel like it. And it's still, you know, I don't want him to be dragged into gardening or into any of this. And we've already agreed that if I do decide to get animals, I'm on my own. I had to promise him that completely. Like, if, listen, if you figure out a way to get a cow or chickens or whatever, like, Leia, I really want some bunnies. You know, he's like, I'm all for it. Go ahead. Sounds really lovely. But I am not in charge. Like, this is you all the way. You know, you're not waking me up in the morning because you're tired one day to go feed that cow. Okay. Or to go shovel like poop. That's on you. We have a handshake agreement there. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
But he, just hearing him, you know, our friends visiting. And sometimes, like now he has a friend visiting from Aruba who's here for a couple of days. They have a triathlon this weekend. And I love getting really quiet, you know, when he has people over, just letting him lead the way and just listening to him speak and the pride in his voice. It's the first thing he shows anyone who visits is he shows the garden and look at what we're growing, you know. And this is potatoes, right, Rach? This is potatoes, right? Right? And he'll point. And I'm like, yeah, that's potatoes. Yeah, they're almost ready, you know, from this one. And then this is eggplant. And yeah, you know, filling these beds was a lot of work. And yeah, the compost, man. Okay, so the compost is over here. And he explains kind of, because we didn't have a proper composting system in Aruba. And he's just, and then he'll point out the wild strawberries. Yeah, you just pick them and they grow everywhere. If you see them, you just take them. And over here we have this and here's we're doing that. And this is apple trees. And he's just watching him give the little tour of the land and the garden brings me so much joy. I mean, so much joy because he's way more into it than he wants to admit to me, you know. And I can sense working with the land, you know, spending time in nature, being outside, which we are in a totally different way living here than we ever were in Aruba. It's doing something for him. And I think he spends less time thinking about these kinds of things than I do, you know, contemplating them, recording a podcast every single week talking about what's moving in my inner world and the connection to nature and all these things. For him, I think it's more casual and more in the everyday, but I can really see a change in him since we moved here, you know, more of a longing to be outside. And if I compare our lives in Aruba, you know, how much time we spent indoors, which was basically all day, how much time we spent in front of a screen. We really used to do that. Like we were, because we were indoor all the time and we were working so much all the time. And it would be very common for us to make lunch and then turn on the TV and watch something on the TV. Super common. And it was kind of like we definitely had a day to day that was more, it felt more artificial, felt more, less time just speaking with each other. And that's something that naturally happens when there's no screen, when there's no other distraction, like working side by side in the garden really is that. And then we start talking and we get into deep topics and we share, we have a more natural dynamic in our day to talk about our feelings and to process what's moving and where we are and where we're going. Whereas making lunch and then sitting in front of a TV, it's like you don't talk, you don't do that at all. And it's not like we did that all the time and every day, but there was more of that. It's harder to resist the screen when the screen is there. And here we don't have a TV. And I really don't want one. Sometimes I, like right now, we're watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy with Leia, which might sound insane. She's 5 years old, but she is loving it. She's loving it. We watched all the Harry Potter movies. I mean, long ago. She is so loving it. Every time she sees an orc, she laughs. She's been laughing a lot. Really loves the hobbits. She cried real actual tears when Gandalf died. Oh my God, okay. I can't possibly spoil a movie this old, right? And a movie this big and famous. Okay, no. So in the first movie, yeah, when Gandalf falls into the pit, you know, fire with a fire monster, she cried real tears. She was so sad. And she goes, mommy, will he come back to life? He will come back to life, right? Will he come back to life? And I'm like, honey, do you want me to tell you, or do you want to wait, watch the movies and find out? And she really had to think about it. She was like, but no, I want to wait. I want to find out on my own. I was like, okay, I'm not going to tell you. I think she has a feeling he's going to return. But so doing that, like we do that on my little laptop because it's what we have. And for those moments, like an evening like that, yeah, I wish we had a TV. It would be so cozy to curl up on the couch, all of us at a normal size TV. But it's really rare for us to, I haven't had that feeling or that longing almost at all. When we've been sick, like when we had COVID, I can remember feeling that feeling. Oh, I wish we had a TV so we could all just like be here together doing this. But I don't think we're gonna get one. The house is so small. We don't have a natural space for one. We have a living room, but the living room faces the lake and these floor to ceiling, you know, windows. So it would make no sense to block the view with an ugly TV. You know, no. So anyway, we're not doing that. And now, you know, it means every single time, like every time we eat lunch, we would never think of turning on a TV or watching a show. Instead, we take our lunch outside and we talk. So I just having this space to be outside, tending to this garden, having the seasons shift outside of our doorstep, it really is not just changing our day to day, but I think it's changing our relationship. It's definitely changing our lives in a good way. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is butterflies and rainbows. And, you know, I think Dennis has had a couple of dips since we came here. Absolutely. He is actively looking for a job right now, which is scary and exciting. And, you know, we've always worked so much together. And now that, you know, he doesn't have a studio to manage here, doesn't have a cafe and a restaurant to manage here, we are not producing anything right now since I have slowed way down. Normally, he's always filming and taking photos and setting up these big productions for all of our classes. And, you know, filming the home course was a crazy endeavor, which obviously didn't end that long ago. And now that my life has quieted down, so has his. And he has this really beautiful longing to go do his own thing right now. I think it would be good. You know, we are way out in the woods, and for him to just have a regular day-to-day job to go to, it would just been a long time since he had that, having been a business owner and an entrepreneur for this many years. And life is just completely shifting. And when I ask him, like, what would you like to do? I could see him doing so many different things. This is really a true jack of all trades. Like, you can put Dennis in any constellation and he will find a purpose there. You know, he's so good at leading people and guiding people. And And of course, you know, a videographer and a photographer and a producer. And he has so many talents in these areas. And then I also think he keeps joking about it. Like, he has this idea. He would love to open a roastery. Like, he's such a coffee nerd and so into the coffee world, having a cafe again, maybe, or opening a roastery to roast his own coffee, maybe. And then sometimes he's like, you know, I would be so happy being a bike mechanic, like at a real, like hardcore bike shop. You know, I think he would so love that. And then I've been telling him, you know, why don't you just build your own website and become just sell your services as a photographer or as a videographer. I'm sure so many people would love to have your amazing, you know, the amazing things you create. But he's so modest. He's almost modest. Like, it's very un-Aries of him. He's an Aries sun and a Cancer moon. He's more into the leaning into his Cancer and all the water in his chart in this area. But he's so modest. Like, really, truly, even the things that he is totally amazing at, where he excels, where he is way better than average, where he has so much experience, he would never tell anyone, oh, well, yeah, I'm good at this. You know, he's always so modest and so humble. And, you know, and I say, hey, how many magazine covers have you shot? Truly. I think he's shot more than 15, maybe 20 magazine covers. Fully, you know, where he's never once gotten paid ever. You know, that's just not who he is. He would never, whenever a magazine is like, oh, we would like to put Rachel on the cover of so-and-so and we would love for that to be fresh and new and exciting. Here's what we need. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. No big deal. When he does that. So how many photographers can say that? He's like, no, I'm just an amateur. I'm just doing it for fun, you know? And I'm like, well, literally we've had photographers and videographers employed full-time by the company who have less experience than you, who you guided. And if they give anyone their resume, it just says at the top, they're a videographer, they're a photographer. And he would never say that. You know, he would never claim that title. He's always like, I'm just dabbling in that. I'm just learning. And, you know, so we'll see where he lands. It's a really big shift for us to even be in these conversations, honestly. And I don't know, because of course it means as well that this kind of quiet space I'm in now, probably at some point it's going to end and I'm going to, you know, go back to more regular work or, you know, decide to do trainings and retreats again, or the next time I want to create a course, which is going to come soon. I know that it's going to mean that I don't have Dennis available and ready for anything needed at any time. You know, it's going to be super, super, super different. But I have this feeling that we're ready for that shift in our relationship. I think we're ready for that shift in our family as well. And I think all of us are ready for something that's a little bit more normal in the day to day. If that makes sense. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to take us, really. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co. If I could spend the rest of the year. I don't want to say the rest of my life because I know I pick things up on a whim and I suddenly get excited about something new. But the way I feel right now, that this level of contentment that I feel in my body, if I could spend the rest of the year just doing this, just quietly spending time in the garden, talking about it on the podcast, it's almost like, you know how we have different seasons in life? I so believe this. I so know this to be true, that we have different seasons in life and different and they of course don't generally align with the seasons of nature all the time, you know, but we have a season of rest needed where naturally we want to turn inward more. We want to slow down more. It's like a natural winter, you know. We can see that in nature. Nature needs that time to recuperate and slow down and turn inward and let things die, right? And then the contrast of that, or the opposite of that, being summer, this time of lots of movement and aliveness and having things come to fruition and, you know, a blossoming of things. Like there's a, where we become more directed outward and maybe more social and more excited to spend time with people, and we want to travel and we want to go out and be out and about, and this totally different energy, right? And we have seasons of really hard work and seasons of feeling really inspired and creative, and seasons when we mother or father something, and seasons when we mother or father ourselves. And I think for the first time in my whole entire life, I am in this winter season in the middle of summer. I really feel like I'm in this very slow, very introspective, contemplative, quiet season of my life right now, where I honestly feel like I don't need to create anything. And yeah, obviously I'm creating something. I'm tending to this land and I'm in my garden and I'm a mother and, you know, I'm still the provider of the family and things like that. There's always a doing in all of this, in this rest as well. But week by week, I can sense more of a slowing down inside of myself. Even if, you know, I'm doing a lot of things on the outside, inside I feel super quiet. Maybe it doesn't sound totally right since I, you know, especially since you're listening to me talking about how I feel for an entire hour every single week. But I do feel quiet. I don't feel this need to share every little thing that comes up in my life. I don't feel this need to be out there, and I feel very introverted, truly. I don't feel very social. I don't feel this need to be creating, to be doing, to be very... I've always had this huge need to have a clear direction of, okay, I know I'm going this way. This is my purpose. I'm making a change here. I am purposeful here. I matter. I am creating something, producing something, you know, of service. This is what I'm doing. And right now, to be totally honest, I feel very directionless. And I talk about this in therapy a lot. It's my first time ever feeling, I'm feeling kind of lost, even though I feel very content. I don't really know what I'm doing with my life. And I, at the same time, don't feel an urge to fix that. I don't feel an urge to figure it out. I feel content dwelling in this introspective space. I can, at least the way I feel now, honor this season of my life. Having had a lifetime of incessant movement and incessant never-ending doing and fixing and rescuing and figuring out and building and growing and hustling, how I have hustled in my life. And now I feel no need for any of that. And even as I can kind of hold this sense of being directionless, of I don't, you know, I'm 33 years old. What am I supposed to do with my life? I don't know. And it's the first time I don't know. And I also don't feel this need to figure that out. I don't have to have these months of my life be this time to get to the bottom of stuff or carve out a new path or figure out what else I'm good at doing or no. I am actually pretty content not knowing, at least right now, at least right in this moment. And I have this feeling that it's the little things in the day-to-day, right? That basket of strawberries, harvesting potatoes, you know, keeping my hands grounded in the soil every day and planting the seeds that I'm planting and taking care of my daughter and taking care of this household and being here, like the walking barefoot and the tree I hug every day and the little things that add up are really what allows me to remain in that not knowing. I think if I didn't have those things, if I didn't have the things that are really tethering me to the ground right now, probably I would feel pretty panicked. Or I would spin myself into movement again, you know, and go figure that out and go create that and go do this. And yeah, almost like this feeling that I've always had that I ended up in this unbelievably privileged situation where I have a community of people who listen to me and I have these millions of people on social media and it's such a privilege. It's such a blessing. I have to take advantage of that. I can't just let that be, right? I have to do something with it. I have to create something with it and grow something with it. And right now I don't feel that way at all. I can just let everything be. And maybe that means that, you know, some of you guys listening maybe don't want to come along for the ride of that. And that's okay. You know, that really is okay. I don't feel this need to be talking to millions of people all the time anymore. I have this feeling that maybe there's lots of you that actually are in the similar place as I am, where you are figuring out a different pace in life, where you want to connect to that similar feeling of abundance that comes from something more purposeful, that comes from something more ancestral, more primal, more grounded. That feeling that I think we've all had, you know, cooking a really great meal for our family. Like there's something in that small act that's so big. Tucking our children in like at the end of the day or watching them sleep, like there's something so brings such contentment, you know, the little things, completing a task or a project or finishing something creative or, you know, like the little big, they're little and huge, right? They're little and they're everything. We've all had those moments and we all long for those moments and we all cherish those moments. But then there's something else that's, I think for a lot of us, been kind of telling us that we have to aim for more. You know, we have to be really, really, really successful over here. We have to produce all these things over here. We have to get to something that makes us feel good enough. Like there's a feeling of not enoughness inside all the time. That not enoughness is like it's this gaping hole that we just try to fill by being better and doing better or looking better or making more money or, you know, and it's all kind of feeding this beast of not enoughness that's never full. Never full. I don't think I ever felt more enough the more money I made or felt more enough, you know, the more people followed me on social media or felt more enough if I had a good review on my book or, you know, getting good feedback, like none of that. The more I hustled, the less enough I felt. The more I hustled, the more I had to keep hustling to keep that feeling of enoughness somehow balanced, right? It never was, at least how I lived. None of those things, you know, the harder I worked or the more I produced or the faster I was running didn't help me feel more content, didn't make me feel like I was good enough. And somehow I also had this idea that, well, it's not enough to just be a mom, right? It's not enough to just have a day-to-day job. It's not enough to just put food on the table. It's not enough to just be who I am. You know, I have to be better. I have to do better. I have to look better. I have to improve myself. I have to be great, you know? I have to succeed. I have to be the best. And all of these expectations, you know, means we have to continue running really, really, really fast and compare ourselves to other people, you know, and maybe have that feeling of competing with other people and looking how other people are doing better and we're not over there and what are we could be doing so much more, and there's always more. And I think there is something inside of us that just longs for that quiet, simple life of taking care of our families, of taking care of the earth, of returning to a way of life that feels more in alignment with who we really are. And I find that the more time we spend immersed in the things that bring us that feeling of contentment, in work that feels purposeful. I'm not talking, you know, like being lazy or doing nothing all day, but in work that makes us feel purposeful rather than try to get to a place where we feel good enough. You know, I'm talking that feeling that you get, like cooking for your family, when you're able to do that and be really all in for that. And whenever I was, you know, in that hustling energy of my life, I didn't have the time and the space to actually immerse myself in the things that really, really mattered. And right now, I would rather do the more manual labor of the day to day, and I would rather have less. And I would rather lower those expectations in a way that I think is probably really kind, you know? Like, what if I don't have to be the best at everything I do? What if I don't have to get this perfect? What is it that actually brings me a feeling of contentment? And how can I immerse myself in more of that? And if I sense this level of abundance in my life that's really there and really real, well, suddenly space opens up to share, right? To share some of that overflow with people that don't have the same level of abundance yet. And how can I aid and support other people in getting to that place or to something that feels similar? You know, because some of us hustle and grind to feel enough, and some of us hustle and grind to just have enough. And those are two very, very, very different places to be. There's a difference between actually not having enough and having enough, but feeling like you don't have enough, feeling like you always need more or like you could be more. And if we are ever in one of these places where all of a sudden we feel abundant and life opens up this graceful place for us to rest and to retreat and to actually be in a winter of our lives where we can be introspective and contemplate, like, that privilege is there for a reason. And I think about that a lot. If I were to take this year and squander it and not appreciate it, you know, what a blessing to be here and to be able to be in the garden and to walk through the woods and to have that season of my life actually appreciated. What a blessing. And I don't want to waste that, you know, because this is what we all deserve. It's what we're all worthy of. And I know that by allowing myself to soften into this more vulnerable, grounded, authentic place, I'll be able to be of greater service too. And I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I don't know yet. And I guess I just have to be okay not knowing. So the question is, are you okay not knowing? The season in your life that you're in right now, does it feel manageable? Do you feel like you need to ask for help or change or shift something for things to become manageable? Or are you resisting the season you're in for other reasons? Maybe something moving inside of you that's hard to allow. You know, it's hard to allow ourselves to actually rest. It's hard to make that change in our lives. Especially if that voice inside tells us we're not enough. You have to keep going, keep moving, just for the sake of moving. Take a deep, deep, long, full breath in. Open the mouth and let go. Take a moment to just be with yourself right now if you have the space. Can close your eyes, place a hand to the heart, and really check in with yourself. What is the season you are in right now actually like? Remember, it doesn't have to align with the actual season outside your doorstep. Are you feeling outgoing, creative? Are you ready to work, sensing lots of energy? Or are you in that need for rest? Are you more contemplative, introspective? What is life asking of you right now in this season of your life? And can you actually listen? What do you need to align with the rhythm that life has already brought your way? A rhythm that life is asking for you to align with. What do you need to arrive at that place of contentment in life? Even if it's just a few minutes of that. What can you give or offer to yourself today to really be with where you are? I am sitting here with a big smile on my face, just remembering the basket of strawberries that I picked today and knowing that that is enough. If I do nothing else, that's really helpful to me for the rest of the day. That moment I gifted myself did so much for me. You know, sometimes it's not about changing our entire lives, but gifting ourselves that one thing, that one experience that we have space for today. And take a moment to really figure out what that could be for you. And then go give yourself that. Go give yourself that. Do it right now. Thank you for being here. I'm so happy we get to journey through the seasons of our lives, all of us together. I'll be back, of course, next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I am so happy you are here with me. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, and review the episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. And of course, a big thank you to my sponsors. Make sure you support them the way they support this podcast. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.